The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And we are here. The digital world takes over Freedom 106.5 every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. with myself, Karen Rose, and my girl.
Hello.
Janine, how are you doing?
I'm good. Is this my mic?
Check it out. It should be.
Hi, beautiful people. How are you all? Oh my goodness, it's Friday, guys. It's Friday.
Yeah, I think you are good to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Check it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So how has your week been so far?
It's been amazing. Yesterday I had the opportunity to attend the National Youth Awards 2023, the 27th installation of the National Youth Awards in Trinidad and Tobago, and it was amazing. Amazing. Simply amazing.
That is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to jump right in to an interview. I mean, we have so much to talk about with respect to the Youth Awards, but we have our featured guest out of Jamaica that is here online with us right now, and we want to bring her in while we still have our engineering team here. So let me see if I have her. Just give me a check. Crystal, Miss Crystal Tomlinson, are you here with us?
I'm here, Sharon. Hi.
Wonderful.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners and to your co-host.
One.
The pronunciation of the name, please. I don't want to get it wrong.
Janine.
Nope.
Janine?
Janine, yeah.
Yeah.
Janine.
So, Crystal, before we dive in, right, I just wanted to make sure that you were here because we had some technical difficulties first. But I need to get my intro for this session going, all right? So, Miss Crystal Tomlinson, she started off as a troubled teenager who was transferred to four high schools, narrowly missing expulsion three times. She became a three-time World University debater and the only female in the Caribbean to cop the title of public speaking champion at the World University's Debate Championships. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, she lost her job, she lost her home, she lost her car, and was facing bankruptcy and had no choice but to use her marketing and self-management and public speaking skills to rebuild and clear her debt of over $50,000 US. Jesus! And started to generate six figures as an entrepreneur. She now has the privilege of serving multinational corporations, private sector companies, and government agencies across the Caribbean and North America as a high-impact motivational speaker and performance coach. Through her company, the Success Farm Life Academy, she engages a community of over 3,000 thrivers, women working for their wins to overcome their fear of public speaking, increase emotional intelligence, and improve their time and task management skills. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the digital world, Miss Crystal Tomlinson.
Yay. Oh, thank you for that introduction. And again, good afternoon to your listeners. It's a pleasure to be here and virtually in Trinidad and Tanzania. I think you broadcast, right? But I'm happy to be here and hoping that my story, my journey, my experience can serve your audience well.
Absolutely. I mean, I've had the pleasure to see you live and in person, and I only hope I can see you live and you can come down to Trinidad and just put on a show, because you are definitely somebody that people need to see, not just watch virtually, but they need to see you in action, live and direct.
Thank you so much,
Sarah. So let's kick things off, because I know we're on a time crunch. I know you got a busy day ahead. So Crystal, just can you start off by sharing a bit of an overview of your journey from going from being that troubled teenager to becoming this world-renowned public speaking and self-management coach?
So for me, it was a journey to self-discovery, really, and grateful that I was able to do that by the time I was in my early 20s, because it was challenging as a teen, feeling inadequate, not being sure what my skills and talents were, what my impact was supposed to be on the world, because I didn't come into the world with any privilege and any platform. Mm-hmm. So it was clear to me that I would have to build whatever it is that I was going to do. I'm going to have to build it from scratch, network, expand my reach and my worldview. And that was intimidating. So instead of saying yes to that challenge, I said, well, let's just be a little disruptive in the meantime. Since I don't know what I need to do, let me just make a mess for everybody else around me.
Right.
And when I discovered that my voice was actually my tool, still wasn't sure how it was going to serve the world, but the voice that I have and the way that I interpret information and the way that I need to paint pictures in the minds of my listeners through debating, public speaking, and theater arts, I was able to find what I think is my foundation for all the work that I do and just root myself well in that public speaking space. And so I started debating in high school, and that helped me to build structure, to be able to contend with opposing views, to resolve conflicts in an intelligent way instead of trying to fight it out, which was the way I was pursuing it before.
Right.
And then moving from high school with that particular skill, building on that at university, using it to build community, to build influence, to lead. I was on the Guild of Students for 2 years at UWE. And then to look for ways now to serve on a national level. So my voice, just my being in a room and being bold enough to speak and to dissent, and to offer a new perspective or reframe an experience, helped me to build the kind of community and platform that as a teenager I thought would have been impossible without a big brand last name or a trust fund or wealthy parents. So we did it from the ground up, but it was not without its challenges. And then I've been able to use that story to mentor teenagers, to speak to young women who are transitioning and trying to find their own footing. And then coming out of my COVID-19 experience with the job loss and the income loss and the debt, to reach a new category of women who are looking to rebuild and to achieve more than what they have achieved up to this point in life.
That's really beautiful. Now, can you tell us what was the turning point in your life that made you really decide to change your trajectory?
For my late teens, early 20s, the turnaround for me was my mother. She is a single mother, two children. And as I said, I decided that I was just going to be disruptive and make life difficult for people, and it was not necessary. And I remember seeing my mother having to face down a principal who told her that her child was just not good enough for the school environment.
Wow.
And that sense of being, through your child not making it, feeling as though you are failing as a parent. And I said, no, we're not going to do this. My mom is an excellent mom. She provides. She goes above and beyond on her own to take care of two children. She makes sure food is on the table. We have lunch money. We're going to school. We're getting a high quality education. She don't abuse us verbally or physically. There's no way. Jamaica would have said, class my mother. You can't class my mother. Make my mother feel like she's a low grade mother because she's a top class mother. And I decided, for the purpose of her knowing that she is doing a good job and she deserves children who make her proud, I said, let's change. And so in high school, the behavior change happened through my mother and my wanting to honor her, the work and the sacrifice that she was putting in. And the other big milestone and turnaround for me was sitting pretty uncomfortable in life and not making smart decisions financially with my time, with my skill and my talent. And then COVID comes and just pulls the rug from under you. And you realize it was just a rug. It was not concrete and steel. It was not firm. It was not sure. And it was nothing you had control over anyway. And the fact that you could lose it like that meant that it was not yours. And you're building your life on what is not yours.
Wow.
And that big eye-opener for me in COVID meant, well, let's start creating what will be yours. An income stream that you have complete control over. You can turn it up when you want. You can turn it down when you want. You can add two more and switch and turn around and feel more in control of what you're doing and your ability to earn a bird on your table.
Wow. Now, Crystal, in your time, you have hit some really big milestones. You are the author of Kill Fear, The Art of Courageous Living. That has been included in UWE's 75th anniversary reading list. You're ranked by Success Magazine as a global thought leader for 2022. You're a world public speaking champion. You are the UWE Premier Award recipient for culture and leadership, and you have the Science of Happiness certification from UC Berkeley. Now, what I want to know is, Now that you have become this public figure, how did you overcome the fear of criticism? Because we know right now we are trying to build our brands, leverage these digital platforms to create this brand. We really have to put ourselves out there. There are a lot of people who don't want to put themselves out there in fear of being criticized by the public. How did you overcome it?
So that was me actually being in the kitchen and on the fire and having to figure out how I wanted to do this. There were two things that I knew for sure. One is God make me, right? It's not ants make me. It's not powder make me. It's not some weird chemical outside there to make me. God make me, which means that there's a powerful energy from the creator that resides in me. Men are small stuff. Men are paper. You know, men are paper weight. I am created by God. And what that means to me is I carry God's energy in me. So I'm not going to walk out into the world and make nobody smile at me. I look at other people and I see the God in them. And I'm very deliberate about speaking to the God energy in them. So I'm in a small people leader. And I was not going to allow the words of a few who do not know me or think them know me or know enough to come to a judgment to small up God's child.
Wow.
And I say to people all the time, you have to walk out into this world. When you're creating your brand, when you're building your platform, when you're doing something that is uncomfortable, like standing on a stage for public speaking, you have to walk out with your clothes on. And that is spiritual clothes, mental clothes. You have to know who you are. Because if you step out into that space naked, people will want to put clothes on you. And they're not picking out the best for you. You know, when you're going out on stage, you want to look the best. When you get on stage naked, the people in the audience, the people on the sidelines, your observers, your critics, they're not looking for the tuxedo to put on Karen. They're not looking for the Balenciaga shoes to put on Janine. They're looking for the worst things to put on you. So they're going to tell you that you're lazy. They're going to tell you that you're ugly. And they want to put you in a shirt that don't fit you and tell you that these are your limits. This is how you should operate. That is the pants that fit you. Don't try to wear anything that costs more than people like you supposed to wear. And they will want to dress you in the most uncomfortable clothes, the most ill-suited clothes, the most disrespectful clothes. So you have to walk out clothed in your dignity, in your understanding of yourself, in your self-worth. Your inner critic, you have to get that under control so that mentally you are talking to yourself from a place of power and love and self-trust. And so because I knew that, I was able to step out with my shoulder and my spine tall. But the second thing that helped me was understanding that even as I share this space with other God energies and other people of influence and other people who feel intimidated and going to try to move you from where you are so they can't stand in the light because they think it's one spotlight and they don't realize that they carry light. The other thing that I had to accept is that I'm not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And my analogy for this is that I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Mm-hmm. Somebody will like hot cocoa, somebody else like chocolate, somebody else like mint tea, somebody like thirsty, somebody like fever grass. If I accept that I am fever grass, who don't like me must go drink another tea. I'm not going to try and be cocoa and try and be coffee and position myself so you think that I am mint. No, I am fever grass. And the people who enjoy the flavor, the scent, the healing properties, the unique elements of fever grass will see my value and honor that. Mm-hmm. And as I watch people come in the supermarket and pick up some coffee and pick up some other brands of tea, I will stand in my fever grassness and clap for them when they are chosen and root them on when other people see their value and want to work with them, want to serve with them. But I'm not going to contort myself to suit the critics. I'm not going to pretend that I am somebody I am not so others are comfortable around me. I am fever grass. And when the right customer comes in the space, I will be so fever grassy that if they know fever grass, they say, yeah, she know one. She never work with. See my girl there. And I can remain authentic and serve who will value what I bring to the table.
Wow.
So that has helped me to deal with the fear, like, oh my God, are they going to pick me? Oh my goodness, look at them picking the saying that they don't like fever grass. Oh my goodness, should I pretend that I'm thirsty? Maybe I should just come off the shelf altogether because nobody don't like me. No. Fever grass is who I am, and who like me will see me, honor me, and we can work together to expand the light that this world needs more of.
Wow.
That's beautiful. Wow. Very, very beautiful. I love exactly what you said. God energy. Love it. I want to meet you. You're so awesome. Talk to us talk to us a little bit about Killfair. You know, address that for me. What did you think was going to be your message that your readers were going to take away when they read Killfair, which I have to read, by the way, because I'm loving this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Janine. The big message I wanted my readers to take from it is that fear does not kill itself, and it feeds on our inadequacy. So the longer you sit down thinking about all the ways that you are wrong, that you are unworthy and you are bad, the fear gets bigger and it grows off of that sense of you being an imposter, not being enough, not deserving of the opportunities, and not able to learn the things that you don't know now, so that you don't try the thing that is new. But if we decide that if I know enough, I will start. And if I know nothing, I will learn. And if I fail, there's a lesson that I'm going to pick up while my face is in the dirt, so that when I get up again, I can apply that wisdom for another opportunity, another shot, another experience. If we decide that and forget the need to be perfect, the need to impress others, the need to be elevated on a pedestal and to be seen as, you know, the most and the best and the number one at, once we abandon those and choose instead the humanness in our experience, the honest and authentic life and life experience that is before us, then we can step into unknown territory and say, boy, I've never before, but if I learn to talk English coming out of my mother's tummy as a baby and I could only say ngangu anga, but I learned a whole English language, I think I can learn the culture in this company. If I was able to go through high school and study 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different subjects and be examined on those subjects to get my CSEC and my CAPE, then I think I can learn how to do well in this degree program. If I learned how to take care of myself earlier than I should have had to, I think I can learn to take care of a business and to build this out over time. The willingness to learn helps us to overcome a lot of our fears, because it means that I'm not stepping into the space perfect, and I'm not trying to protect the perfect view and image that others may have of me. I am myself, and this self is still learning, this self is still growing. There's a lot more for me to do and a lot more for me to learn how to do, and I am open to that. Mm-hmm. That dissolves a lot of the fear, and I think most readers get that from the book, that you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to be liked, and you don't have to be massively successful at everything you do, because that courage to show up anyways is what is going to renew, and for some of us, instill the very first ounce of self-trust and self-confidence. And wow, that's what we need to be our best self. Love, trust, and confidence in that self.
Wow, that is very deep. Crystal, I know you have your time with us is very short today, and we had some technical difficulties. We're definitely going to have to bring part two, because there's a lot of the business side I wanted to get into. But if you have
time... We don't touch on the digital world stuff yet, right?
Yeah, no, we did not. And you see, and that's why I usually love to have these longer conversations, because there's so much that goes into people's background and their journey. So there's so much gems that we can pull from that, and then we get into kind of the business side of the stuff, you know. But, you know, I'll save the business stuff for the part two. We'll organize a date. But I have two Absolutely. Questions that I wanna ask before, and then we'll let you go, because I know you have your own thing to do as well. You speak a lot about the principle of essentialism. Can you elaborate on its significance in your life and career?
So I happened upon this book. I think I was reading something on Success Magazine that recommended some books to read if you wanted to better manage your time. And one of the books on the list was by Greg Maffion, Essentialism. And it had, you know, this cover with all the squiggly writing on it, I guess to suggest that we are all confused and busy trying to do everything and essentially achieving nothing. The principle of essentialism, particularly around time management and task management, is knowing what needs to be done and deciding every day that I'm only doing what needs to be done. Not what is nice to do, not what people have asked me to do, not what I see everybody else doing, not what has become my habit and my routine, but assessing honestly, the goal I'm trying to achieve in this office, as a member of this team, in my role as a manager, as a team leader, as a customer service representative, as the person that is cleaning the floors and sweeping up after others, what is the most essential thing for me to do in order to accomplish this task well, accomplish it in a fast time than I usually do, and of a certain quality that others will be impressed, honored, and fully served by my work. So you take yourself out of the hamster wheel of busyness and telling everybody, well, your calendar is so full and you can't talk to anyone, and man, I'm just so overwhelmed, because this world and work culture celebrates the busyness. the more people see, you see them buzzing around like bees, a boss probably stands on the floor and says, yes, my workers are busy, I love it. But the person who looks pissed and takes a break after 40 minutes sitting at the computer to take a walk outside, some deep breaths, some stretches, is probably giving you higher quality, focused, and energized work than the one that's wow. running around frantically trying to juggle 10 things so you see them as a great juggler. So it's taking the non-essential tasks out of your workday, identifying what must be done for you to achieve high performance and success in your field, and then being diligent and unapologetic in saying no to the non-essential things. So it's a lot of self-assessment to understand how we work and how we manage time, what we think our calendar says about us, because for some people, if they open their phone and it's not full with appointments for the whole day, they feel unworthy, because their idea of being worthy is a lot of work. You have to work hard to be worthy. So if we understand our personal programming around what it means for us to be worthy and how we treat our time, our self-confidence, and knowing that people can still love me if I'm not overextending myself to them and saying yes to every ask that they make, I'm still a good friend if I can say no, I'm not coming to this thing on Sunday, I can't organize my schedule to facilitate this one on Saturday, I'm still a worthy person. And that's really where it starts. Sometimes we, when we feel like we're not enough, we put all the stuff in the calendar to make up for that feeling that I am good and I am great and other people will see me as great.
Wow.
But ultimately, the goal is to get to a place of comfort and love, telling people no and marshalling our time and our energy in ways that serve the task most productively. So there are whole systems that we can use to do that, but that's a foundation of essentialism, knowing what needs to be done, and then being brave and consistent in doing only those things, even when other people try to co-opt you into the non-essential busy work. So.
All right, and our final question is, can you share a memorable experience from your coaching sessions that had a profound impact on you?
Ooh, okay. Let me see. A profound impact on me. That's what I'm looking for. The one where really juked me. I had a female client that I was working with who had, and this is common for many of my clients, that they are female. One, they're building businesses and they're also trying to juggle the roles of motherhood. And one day she called me. This is actually after we have done a few sessions of coaching, and I felt like we had gotten to a little roadblock and we weren't getting things done. And like she had an aha moment, and she called me and she said, Crystal, I realize why I've been having this difficulty doing the things that I'm saying to you I'm going to do. And it's because I don't think that I'm the kind of person who should have these things. Ultimately, I grew up as a child, and she goes through the experiences, what she had to sacrifice, what she couldn't do. And she accepted very early in her life that success was off limits. And no matter how much we got to the point where we were saying, yes, and this is it, and we're going to, and then we started and we just could not be consistent. And I say we because I'm very involved in the process of building the habits out with my clients. And she says, I don't think that I'm the kind of person who should get this.
Wow.
And we had to start all the way over with the sessions, right? But the impact on me there was a reminder that until we move towards our goals, towards the intimate partners and the marriages that we want, towards our parents, towards our businesses, until we move with an energy of love for ourselves, we can't find that love for others to engage them fully, but we also won't be able to find the consistency to do that good thing well if we don't really, really want good results for ourselves and believe deep down that that is something that I can have too. And it was a reminder for me to just kind of go back and say, whoa, where have you not been doing the things that you need to do, Crystal? Because you think it's off limits.
Right.
And the aha for me was, me never think to me can be like a billionaire. Like, what? How, like, me not even know, me barely know a 2 millionaire, right? Barely know a 2 millionaire. How could I, like, be having billion-dollar goals? And I realized that I was, in terms of the income aims and goals I had for myself, I kept stopping at a million. Like, that was it. Like, and that's even like 5 and 10 million US in Australia. Like,
just a million. One.
Just one source of million. Because everything else just feel like, I don't mind some of that.
Right.
Do them some of that. So So I had to go back and even reassess how my business was designed, how I want to scale the business, how is it that I want to serve more people so that over time I can earn more, because the more felt scary. And I was okay just being in like a little small town and doing a little small thing, because that's just not what I do. You know, that's what I thought. And so I had to go back and do some deep work for myself around wealth and abundance and what I thought I had a right to access.
Wow. Crystal, can I squeeze in one last question?
I'll end
on this note, right? Well, like I said, we'll do a part two because we've got to get into the business side of public speaking and whatnot. But I want to end on this. You have been described as a transformed woman. What does transformation mean to you, and how can others embark on their own transformative journey?
For me, transformation has really been a surgical process of dismemberment. So there are some things that had to come off, some self-beliefs that had to come off, some relationships that had to come off, some habits that felt really good. I had to come off. I had to chop up my little self in pieces and just figure out what appendages did not belong in the new body, the new me, the new experience that I wanted.
Mm.
So it was surgical in that way, like looking at what I was willing to lose. And that is sometimes the hardest part of the process, because we talk about transformation in a way that focuses on what we want to attract and what we earn and what we're going to get to add to what we have. But the hardest part in my experience is deciding what you are willing to lose. So transformation for me has been that surgical dismemberment of deciding what I will do without, what I will grow without, what I will learn to be happy and at peace without, and becoming the kind of woman who is okay and thriving and joyful and patient and long-suffering and just loving to others without all of these things. So the willingness to do without those things put me in like a new gear. So I was able to shift gears now into some transformative actions and habits. So the sacrifice is required to wake up early in the morning to honor the needs my daughter has, because I'm mom to a toddler, build a business, nurture my friendships and relationships, intimate and otherwise. The things I've had to do to transform those spaces in a meaningful way, only after I recognized that these things I will do without. And then new limbs started to grow, you know, new limbs that spoke about patience in my spirit and forgiveness and relief and love and abundance and service. So all of those things now started to grow, and then I essentially was growing and transforming. But couldn't do that if I wanted to keep all the old limbs, because then I would look more like an octopus, and that's not cute. So we have to take off the extras so that the new ones could grow.
Wow. Crystal, listen to me. No, we will organize our part two, because I can listen to you talk all day and there's so much more to cover. I got to listen to you and take a lot of notes when we did the innovation conference earlier this year, or a couple months ago at this point. And again, there's so much jewels from your story and what you do that I want people to learn, especially when it comes to building that business, how people can really dive in, become better public speakers, and the monetization methods we've talked about that. I want to get into that, but we're going to save that for our part two. Crystal,
looking forward to connecting again. Karan and Janine, thank you both.
We will.
Crystal, where can the digital world and Freedom Family find you online?
So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Crystal Tomlinson. So you can type in KRYSTAL Tomlinson, TOMLINSON, and I'll pop up on all those platforms. And I'm also on LinkedIn. And I'll just drop this gem for your community members who may want to work with me through coaching.
Mm-hmm.
This Sunday, I have a VIP day where I'm working with women one-on-one to design their Thrive plan, a strategy for achieving the goals, getting clear on the goals, the critical milestones in the middle, and the habits to drive weekly. And it's for women who are tired of being tired,
being
last on their list,
tired,
and just deciding that you're going to prioritize your goals and move full speed ahead towards them. So you can go to my Instagram page and comment Thrive on the the last three videos, and we'll send you the link to schedule your one-on-one session if you'd like to work with me as your coach.
Wonderful.
Sounds so good.
Thank you, Crystal, for taking the time.
Thank you.
This was really good. Again, every time you talk, you have to have a notepad handy because there's a lot of gems to capture.
Thank you so much.
No
have
problem.
A great day.
You too. Take care.
Blessings and love to you all. Take care.
Freedom family, that was Crystal Tomlinson out of Jamaica. Make sure you guys go check her out on social media, KrystalTomlinson. Crystal Tomlinson. She is a certified boss. And like I said, there's so much information to get from her. When we get back into part two with her, when we bring her back, we're going to be talking about the business side, the monetization, because this girl has done a whole lot across the world. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Digital World.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And we are back right here on Freedom 106.5 with the Digital World with myself, Karen Rose, and Janine Edwards. Now, that was an amazing conversation that we had with Crystal Tomlinson. She had another event that she had to get to, and honestly, we definitely have to bring her back for part two. Go check her out online. There's so much to learn when it comes to public speaking, building your brand, and she's doing it at such a high level. That's Crystal Tomlinson out of Jamaica. Go check her out. You will, again, there's a lot that you will be able to learn and pick up from her. So we want to move into the second part of the show where we're going to be talking about some of the new digital careers that are popping up, that are in demand. We know that there are people all over the Caribbean right now who are looking to make that change and getting into some new industry. So if you've been thinking about making a career change, maybe you're even looking at doing something on the side to your 9-to-5 job, you know, this is definitely something you can get into. So the career that we have in focus today is a career called the e-commerce specialist. This role is in demand globally, and one of the best things about it is that you're able to do this role right here from Trinidad and Tobago and work for companies across the world, right? So it's one of the great remote working jobs that you can do right now, and we need this particular role a heck of a lot in Trinidad and Tobago and the rest of the Caribbean, because the e-commerce specialists, these are the people that are responsible for getting your business able to accept payments online and selling your products or services online. So let's get into it. The e-commerce specialist is a role that's pretty new to most Caribbean businesses now that e-commerce tools and platforms has become more widespread. For many years, we had limited options for payment gateways to connect our websites and local banks. And when you start factoring in the costs of web development, payment tool integration, and then the lack of credit card penetration amongst the population, this was really just too much for businesses to seriously consider. Now that websites are much more cost-effective to have built or to create for yourself, we have more payment gateway options starting as low as $0 to integrate into your website. And now that everybody has those new Visa debit cards that the banks have been rolling out throughout the country, regular folks that don't have a credit card can finally make purchases online with your business. So this is really a good time for e-commerce specialists to start emerging, as more companies should be hiring for this role. Every single company should either have e-commerce specialists on hand, or you should be looking at what e-commerce specialists are freelancing. That way you can outsource the roles and functions of the e-commerce specialist. So what does an e-commerce specialist do? An e-commerce specialist is an expert in online sales strategies and the various platforms used to conduct digital sales or conversions on a website. They are responsible for monitoring the day-to-day activity on the website and its overall performance to achieve goals like improving user experiences, increasing website traffic and sales, and developing brand loyalty. They also execute the ad campaigns on search engines and other websites and research and implement the latest digital marketing strategies utilizing social media as well. Additionally, they assist with website development. They assist. They don't build it, but they assist and manage the updates to the e-commerce side of the business. They work with coworkers to collect the necessary content to use for each of the products and the services that your brand or business offers, and they ensure that the brand message and goals align with the rest of the company. They also keep a promotions calendar to track all e-commerce marketing efforts, analyze data, and use their findings to improve these strategies. So that's what an e-commerce specialist does. Let's dive in a little bit deeper into the day-to-day duties of that specialist. So, to kick it off, they ask trends and customer data to identify opportunities to inform your strategy. They set goals and objectives for the company's online sales. So remember, your e-commerce specialists, their hands are directly involved in online selling for your business. So they set the goals and the objectives for the company's online sales. They develop the tactics for driving traffic to the company's website and converting site visitors into customers. So these are the guys that are, you know, they have their hands directly in, you know, not just getting people to the website, but also when they come to the website, how do we get these people to add to cart? How do we get these people to book those appointments online? That way money can be made around the clock for your business. They manage and optimize the company's online sales channels, including social media, email marketing, and paid advertising. They work with the sales and marketing teams to ensure that all sales efforts are coordinated and aligned with overall business goals. They conduct A-B testing. So, you know, they conduct A-B testing and other experiments to improve the effectiveness of online sales efforts. They track and analyze key performance metrics to ensure the success of online sales and make data-driven decisions. They stay up to date with industry trends and new technologies that could impact the company's online sales efforts. We know there's new payment gateways, there's new platforms, there's new tools to sell products and services online. This is the person that's going to be researching everything and making sure your brand is up to date and using best practices. They collaborate with other teams such as product development and customer service to ensure that the company's online sales efforts are aligned with the business strategy. They also help with the research and implementation of best practices for product SEO. So they don't really deal with the overall search engine optimization strategies, but when it comes to optimizing the products on your website and services, they are directly involved in that. And they aid in digital monetization strategies to generate new revenue for the company. So again, there are so many ways that a business can make money online. And these are the specialists that are going to be looking at what are the new ways businesses could be making money online. Could it be monetizing YouTube? Could it be selling digital products? Any of the ways that we can make money online, the e-commerce specialist is going to be the guys doing the research and the guiding the company to create those digital monetization revenue strategies. So some of the soft skills that this person is going to have is communication skills. Well, an e-commerce specialist is going to need to be able to communicate effectively with a variety of stakeholders, including team members, executives, and customers. They have to have amazing analytical skills. An e-commerce specialist will need to be able to analyze data and draw insights to inform your strategy and decision-making. Problem-solving skills. An e-commerce specialist will need to be able to identify and resolve problems that arise in the course of running an online business. Creativity. An e-commerce specialist will need to come up with new ideas and approaches to drive sales and engage customers. They have to have great organization skills because they're going to be managing multiple projects and tasks, and they also have to be a great collaborator. Now, if you are looking for the qualifications of an e-commerce specialist, what does that person need to have in order to be a qualified e-commerce specialist? So the big one is experience with e-commerce platforms and tools such as a Shopify, Magento, a WordPress, a WooCommerce. Think of all of the website platforms that are available. Does your e-commerce specialist know how to integrate payment solutions on those platforms? Because how you integrate a payment solution on Shopify, especially in the Caribbean, is very different in how you would do that in the U.S. markets. So your e-commerce specialist needs to have knowledge of the various website platforms and the payment gateways and how to build out or integrate the payment solutions that we have available on the platforms of your choice. Then they should have knowledge of web development technologies. They don't necessarily have to be the one building the website, right? Because a web developer and an e-commerce specialist, those are two totally different roles. You could have web developers that specialize in e-commerce as well. You could also have an e-commerce specialist who does know how to build websites, but generally you don't really want those two people to be the same person because those are two big portfolios. If it is a smaller company or maybe you're a solopreneur, you know, then yeah, you're probably going to have somebody or find somebody that can wear both hats until you guys grow. But they should be able to have knowledge of web development. Okay. Then they should have knowledge of the web analytics. They should also have knowledge of SEO, search engine optimization, and also digital marketing, right? Because that all plays in to the e-commerce role. So they should have knowledge of web analytics, SEO, and digital marketing. They should have experience with CRM software, customer relationship management software. They should also have experience in content management systems and other web-based applications. They should have experience with marketing and advertising, including social media marketing, email marketing, and paid search marketing, because all of those areas are going to have, there are e-commerce strategies that can tie into social media marketing, email marketing, and paid search. So they should have knowledge of those. They should have really good project management skills because, again, there's going to be lots of campaigns you're going to be doing, so they need to have good project management. Again, excellent communication. They should have a customer-centric approach to problem solving, thinking customers first. Don't just do the things that make sense for the business. They should be thinking about how can we put the people first and create the best possible workflows that help people have a smooth checkout process on our websites. And they should have the ability to adapt quick to changes in technology in the market. Now, that's a big one because things are changing so fast. And what happens is we have too many people that work for companies who do not like change. They are not willing to adapt. And when you're putting these people in tech roles where things are changing almost every other day and your business cannot stay up to date because the people you employ refuse to keep up and adapt, you run into many problems. You run into many, many, many problems, all right? So the ability to adapt quickly to changes in tech and the market is going to be huge. Now, let's talk money, all right? We're talking about the role of the e-commerce specialist. Again, this is a relatively new role that across the Caribbean, we should be seeing more companies hiring and looking for e-commerce specialists because these are the guys helping you make money in the digital space, okay? Your e-commerce specialist. So what type of money is in this role, right? We know we have people who are looking to change up their jobs and they're looking for better paying jobs and jobs that are future-proofing themselves. So in the U.S., now I'm going to give you some of the salary ranges from other countries, all right? Because naturally, again, we don't really have e-commerce specialists in the Caribbean. So I'm going to give you, and then on top of that, we don't know what the salary ranges are for the companies that do hire e-commerce specialists locally. We don't know what they're paying these people. So let me give you the salary ranges for some of the other countries. So in the U.S., an e-commerce specialist starting out makes $40,000 a year, and that goes up to the higher end, $112,000 per year. So let me give you the conversion. So $40,000 turns out to be $271,313 for the year. What does that work out to be per month? I will tell you that works out to be about $22,609 per month. So if you were working in the U.S. on the low end, that $40,000 for the year works out to be about $271,000 for the year, about $22,609 per month. Now on the high end, right, the $112,000. Let me give you the numbers for that. So $112,000. That works out to be about $760,000 TT for the year. And let me give you that. What would that salary look like per month? That is about $63,333 per month. So that is what the e-commerce specialists are making as a monthly salary in the States. Low end, the $22,000 per month, up to $63,000 per month. That's in the U.S. Now, remember, this is a role that's digital. So you can be an e-commerce specialist right here in Trinidad and Tobago, and you can work for companies abroad as an e-commerce specialist. And if you can work as an e-commerce specialist to a company in the States, that's the type of money that you would be getting. Now, in the UK, right, the UK pays in pounds, so I just converted it to US dollars to make it easier. The UK pays 29,000 US to 67,000 US dollars per year. And then in China, they pay 30,000 to 97,000 US dollars per year. Now, keep in mind the cost of living in all these countries are different. That's why the salary ranges are going to range. And then in Australia, they pay 68,000 to 101,000 US dollars per month. So all of that are relatively similar, right? So you really are looking at like the $20,000 to $60,000 that range as a monthly salary as an e-commerce specialist. Now, are you going to get that in Trinidad? That's a tough question because, again, most businesses still, one, don't have websites, and two, are not selling any products or services online. So a lot of businesses don't know that they need an e-commerce specialist, which is why we're educating the public about these new roles, right? Because business owners need e-commerce specialists. If you want to be able to sell online, you need to have an e-commerce specialist or at least outsource the work to an e-commerce specialist who freelances. And if you are somebody looking to do a change in your career, this is definitely a role that you should start learning skills for and get the certifications and the qualifications. Because if you do, you can start working for companies around the world, the UK, the US, China, Australia. E-commerce specialists are in high demand. And like I said, salary-wise, these guys are shelling out between 20,000 to 66,000 20,000 to 66,000 TT dollars per month for e-commerce specialists. And if you could make the US dollars from a company outside of the Caribbean and you're living in Trinidad or you're living in the other Caribbean islands and you can live off of that exchange, you are in business, ma'am and sir. You are in business, right? So when we're looking at certifications, if you want to get started as an e-commerce specialist, what are some of the certifications that you can take a look at? So I'm going to give you some free certifications that you could do, and I'm also going to give you some paid certifications. So to get started as an e-commerce specialist, one of the free certification programs that you can do is e-commerce marketing at the HubSpot Academy. So you're going to HubSpot, HubSpot Academy, and you're doing the e-commerce marketing course. That is free. The other big free course that you can do to get your feet wet and learn more about the e-commerce specialist role is e-commerce masterclass by Big Commerce, BigCommerce, e-commerce masterclass by Big Commerce. That is a free certification program as well, and these certification programs are recognized across the world. All right, now in terms of the paid certification programs, you could do e-commerce marketing specialist by Digital Marketer. That's a paid course. That course is about $500 US. I would recommend it. I mean, if you could afford to do that now, great. That's one of the big certifications that you can do that comes highly recommended. And if you can't afford it, wait till they have their sale for Boxing Day, because that $500 US course goes down to about 100 US. So when I do my digital marketer courses, I wait for two sales. The 4th of July sale, where they have like 90% off all the courses, and then the Boxing Day sale. The other paid courses you can do are the e-commerce essentials by Skillshare, and then you could do e-commerce fundamentals by LinkedIn. So hiring an e-commerce specialist is an extremely sound investment for any business looking to increase their online presence and their ROI. Your e-commerce specialist is going to have the knowledge, the experience, the skills to help you develop a successful online business. Again, these are your money people. They are coming into your business. They're looking at all the ways your business can monetize online, creating all of the channels for your customers to pay you for your products and services online, okay? Their expertise is greatly needed across the Caribbean, because when you look around and all the local businesses that you do business with, if you cannot do business with them online, go to their website, order their products, or book their services, you know, you want these options, because that is how you're going to create a really good customer experience. And if you think about all the traffic that we have in Trinidad, we keep talking about we need to reduce traffic. A lot of the traffic is because nobody has an online platform that facilitates the selling of their products or services or to do business with them. So you always have to go to these locations to conduct business. If more of our retailers and business owners and service providers were online, then we can reduce the amount of traffic that is on Trinidad and Tobago's rolls. And if you are looking to change careers, again, this is a future-proof career that is going to, that it's in high demand now and for many, many years to come. So if you ever have any questions about the e-commerce specialist, just jump on Google. Type in e-commerce specialist. There's a lot of information about the role out here, right? So you could learn about it from the business perspective if you want to hire for it. And also, if you want to make that change of career, jump online, go on Google, type in e-commerce specialist, and then look at the qualifications and the certification programs that you can do so that you can change your career field. And again, I remind you, e-commerce specialists around the world are making between 20,000 TT per month up to $66,000 per month. All right, Janine, how does that money sound to you? You could do a little 20,000 right now, 66,000 a month.
Yeah, man, that sounds real good.
That is what we're talking about. All right, so that's the e-commerce specialist. If you have any questions about it, feel free to shoot us a WhatsApp, 306-1065. That's 306-1065. If you have any questions about the e-commerce specialist or making that career change, we will be back with more Digital World.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And we are back right here on the Digital World with myself, Karen Rose, and Janine.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Janine, I feel like it's so cold in here today.
It is. I don't know what's the weather like on the outside, boy. Is it raining in Port of Spain?
When I was coming in, it was quite gloomy. Yeah. It was quite gloomy, but you know what? I think we deserve that, because you see, this heat that we have had over the past 2 weeks was madness.
Scorching.
Was madness. Even on vacation, I'm in the middle of the ocean, and I'm like, wait a minute, am I sweating inside the ocean right now? It was that hot.
It is ridiculous.
It was ridiculously hot, you know? So, you know what? One of the big questions that I've seen been popping up over the past 2 weeks, and I got asked about this a good bit while I was on vacation, I thought, you know what, it's probably a good time to talk about it now. I know you love to talk money and ways to make money, right? And I want to jump into the topic of monetization for your brand, but looking at the ways you can virtually make money. We're not talking crypto, we're not talking Forex, we're talking about there are about 10 streams of income that you as a brand could tap into to generate money for your business. So let's talk digital revenue monetization. So folks, if you are listening in and you have your business, it could be, you could be making roti, you could be making a mechanic, you could be a costume designer. All of these monetization methods are things that you can do and implement in your brand. And you know what? We have Janine. We got the big personality, Jin Edwards here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use her as our example and kind of reference her. So if we were, if Janine wanted to make additional revenue for the business, you know, here's how we could do it. Yay. So we got 10 different ways, right? Starting it off, we'll get into one-on-one coaching. Now, this is low-hanging fruit because anybody that has a skill set or knowledge or they are known for something, they can definitely do one-on-one coaching. So, Janine, what is the Janine Edwards brand? What is Janine known for?
Oh, so many things, but I guess I would focus on Peace, Love, and Cupcakes Foundation. So I would... I'd want to build up that. In terms of what would I do online with it? So many things, but I guess I'll read. I have dyslexia, so I think it's really important to share the story that, hey, even if you do have a learning or reading disability, that it shouldn't stop you and that kind of thing. So I think I would probably read online, try to start monetizing that in some way. Yeah.
I think right out the gate, people probably look at you and like, how do you host? Because you host a variety of events. So that might be something that people might start coming to you for, to learn how to become, because you're a very versatile host. Like I've seen you hosting fets. You go from one fet, you go home, take a little, you know, throw some water in your face, wake up early in the morning and go host a corporate event. So you are very versatile in the events that you do. And I'm sure that how you would host a fete is very different than how you would host a sports day to a corporate event, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know if I could. I don't know if right now I will teach that. I, like, recently somebody called me for, like, pointers and, like, how do you do this? And, like, how do you engage the audience? And, but I don't know. I think because I did not have a, I did not go to a school to learn to do this. And this was a skill, a natural skill that key persons in the industry helped to mold and groom and guide. I don't know how to teach what I learned just natural out here in the world, just listening, observing. Because it wasn't always the person that I was working for going to say, do X, do Y, or whatever.
You just of course.
Have to, you know, well, he guide you. Obviously, we should fall in line and do it like this way, right?
Yes.
So
I'm glad you said everything you said and how you said it. Because one of the things that people have to learn is when you are teaching, some people have to learn, how do I package my knowledge? Like, how do I formulate it in a step-by-step thing? Because there's a lot of things, as you just said, it's come natural to you. People have told you things. You've gained a lot of experience over the years. But to say you're going to teach it, well, you know, where does one start? And learning how to package that is something that's almost like your first step. So everybody could be a one-on-one coach. And the fact that somebody's even called you for pointers already lets you know that there are people that are looking at you and want to learn to do the things that you are doing.
Yeah.
Right? So
I'm aware. I heard a young lady said, she went to him and she said, mommy, I want to be a radio personality. Janine came, ting. And that's what I want to do now. So the parent.
That's dope.
Yes, the parent was like, all she could talk about now is being a radio announcer and TV presenter, ting.
Right.
Like, true? Wow, I didn't know that would have been the outcome now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I want to teach her to read. I think reading is important. A lot of people don't know how to read. A lot of people have learning disabilities. A lot of people, you know, like me back in the day, I have dyslexia now. You know, it's a hereditary
disorder, and it runs in the family. I have it, a couple cousins have it, but you could overcome it. See, the thing is, if you don't spot it, if you don't know the signs, then like you go on feeling real down about yourself and real low self-esteem. So I don't know. I think one of my callings is to assist in anything like that, because yes, I'll help you be a personality, but I would like to help someone read.
That's dope.
You know, read, whether it's a young person who, you know, I love maths, I don't like to read so much, so I'll help you make it, make the words jump off the page and get colorful, or if it's an adult that is embarrassed and feels, you know, uncomfortable, feels ashamed to read in a conference room or at an interview, I would prefer to just take my little time and do that. That is what I would do one-on-one. I will definitely, hands down, teach you how to read.
How to read,
how to enunciate. I mean, it all goes hand in hand in what I do.
Yep.
Because if I didn't know how to read properly and if I didn't overcome that, then there would be no way I would be able to host a program, read a script, go on live TV. There would be no way. So
yes.
I think it's still along the lines of getting on the stage, pulling a mic.
Yeah.
But you gotta do the basics. And yeah, basics is learning to read.
You know,
to use your voice.
We're talking monetization. The first one is one-on-one coaching. Everybody has a skill set. And Janine just listed out multiple things that she could do in a one-on-one capacity for the brand to generate additional income, right? So again, everybody has their knowledge. Learning how to package that knowledge so that you can offer in a one-on-one capacity is definitely huge.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the second thing. So this, we're talking digital monetization, how your brand could create multiple streams of income, but digitally. Second is a thing called Google AdSense. Now, Google AdSense, what that is when you have your website. So we got to get, you know, before this year is done, Janine, we got to get the Jinjin website up.
Of course, right? Yeah.
Before this year is done. So Google AdSense is...
You're on vacation, so now that you're back.
Yes. Now that I'm rested and I'm ready to go again, you know?
Exactly.
Google AdSense is a program that you register with Google, and they put a code on your website, and they will look and see what the user behaviors is of the people coming to your website and show them the ads that would appeal to them. Now, anytime somebody comes to your website and clicks on any one of the ads on your website, Google then pays you anytime somebody clicks. Now, that's nice, because the more you bring people back to your website, or the more they're coming to your website, that means the more money you can generate passively, right? All you got to do is worry about just getting people to come to your website. Google will then cut you a check every single month. Once you pass the $100 US threshold, Google could either do a direct deposit into your local bank account,
yes,
right here in Trinidad,
yes,
or if you like to go to the bank, they'll cut you a check,
no,
and they'll send you, and that money is in US dollars. So if you don't have a US account, you don't have to.
Okay.
If you don't have one, the money would just go into your TT account and it would just convert to whatever the conversion is.
I like this.
Or
how does I sign up for that one?
You go to GoogleAdSense.com, but you need to have the website.
What website? Right? My website?
Your website.
Your website.
You got to have your website. So once you have your website, you can sign up for Google AdSense. Google will that gives Google the ability to run ads on your website. The more people come to your website and they're seeing the ads, Google is going to pay you in US dollars. And that money adds up. And again, it's so nice to, you're not even thinking about it. You just get a check in the mail, or you see a deposit from Google with money coming in US dollars, right? Right? So we're talking digital monetization. Third, next up. Now, I know Jin has done this. Are we using her as our guinea pig? I know she's done this already. Brand ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
When you are building your brand, when you are becoming a public figure, it doesn't matter what industry. You could be a mechanic, you could be a radio announcer, you could be a baker. Once you are putting out content and you are becoming a household name in your community, associated brands in your industry would definitely want to reach out. So if you are a mechanic and you're doing car videos, you could have an oil company, Valvoline, Quaker State, whoever, yeah, reach out and say, hey, you like to work on cars? We want you to be a brand ambassador because you always use our oil.
Do you know what's funny? You know, you can give people all the tips you want, mm-hmm, but I literally was having a conversation the other day, and the person was like, but so many people are doing that already. And I'm like, how many people are announcers out here? Like, it's been happening for forever. But just because there's, you feel like the industry might be saturated or whatever, you have your personal je ne sais quoi. You have your own thing that is going to make it pop. Whether, correct, it's how you season your meat, whether people like how you just present your meal, whether people like the time you take to take in their clothes as a tailor.
Correct.
It's personalized, and people love that. People love that. So please don't be discouraged by the fact that there are many brand ambassadors.
Many.
Or that there are many announcers or anything like that, because they are not you.
Correct.
You are you.
Correct.
People, how do you feel about, you know, people might look up to you and they might imitate what you do. And as they get older, I'm like, why is this happening? And then I'm like, okay, this is happening because you're inspiring something, and that's okay. It's okay for somebody to try to be like you, or try to emulate a positive trait, because, yeah, nobody's trying to be like you, like somebody, but they might see something in that person that they like and they want to emulate.
So yes,
there's nothing wrong with that. Just understand that you will always be you, right? Your you-ness is important to the world.
Correct.
So don't dim it down like a wonderful guest this afternoon spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
Don't small up yourself.
Do
right?
not.
Don't small up yourself to make nobody feel like they're better than you or anything like that. No matter your background, no matter your skill set, no matter your education, nothing like that, you know? So that's my whole thing. We give y'all so much things. Y'all should be millionaires by now. I mean, oh God, to last year, every day on Friday, tip. You all in millionaires, yeah? While they're sleeping. All in, I'm serious. Every week.
Every
Karen
week.
Karen is sit on computer, ting, ting, click, do a little research, come back. No Nation, did it, and give all your pointers.
And then our guests come in. Our guests come on.
Exactly, and give extra testimonial about journeys and about these things. So come on.
Yeah. And I love the fact you brought up that, you know what, regardless of whether people are doing it, nobody can be you. From the business side, brands are always looking for people who align with their own brand vision and brand, yeah, voice and what they're trying to do. And maybe, and again, brands evolve all the time. So maybe a particular brand ambassador fit their narrative of what they were trying to push a year ago, mm-hmm, and now they're going into a different direction.
Correct.
And then you might be that person, that face for them for the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
So be you all the time, because companies are always coming out. There's new companies being created every single day, and when they are looking to partner with brand ambassadors, influencers, they are always looking to see who is different, who is unique, who fits what they are trying to do.
Yeah.
All right.
And essentially, who's real? Because it's so, you see, everything is fake. Everything is so fake out there. The audience, and at least this is what I've realized, like, the audience logs on to things that are real, people that are real, conversations that are real.
And it's always easy to see too.
Yeah. So just be you. Even if, and I not say, I look, my hair not real all the time. The eyelash is not real. That's not what I'm saying, I know. I'm just saying, be yourself. Be uniquely you. Because you've been blessed, baby. You've been blessed by
tell
the Almighty.
Them.
And nobody could take it away from you. Sometimes you might have a rough day, but nobody could take it away from you, okay? All right? Karen's probably wondering why I'm talking to who I'm talking to over there.
No. I know you're either live or you're doing a video. No, one or the other.
I'm doing neither. I'm just watching.
Oh, you're talking to Casper. Well, go on, Casper.
I'm talking about
Yo, I honestly thought.
This camera is over here to me. That's why I'm.
There we go. Now, Janine, talk to them. Talk to them again.
Hold on.
You could look deep into that camera.
Oh, you know what? We were on the wrong mic all the time.
Yeah.
That's why I was sounding like that.
Because they changed it up.
Hello.
Talk again.
Hello.
Talk again.
Hello.
Okay, there you go.
Hello. All right, let's do this one. Hello. That one's still on.
Hello. Yeah.
What's happening now?
There we go. Yeah, talk to me.
I
know where you are. Yeah.
There we go.
Now you can talk into the camera and talk to the people.
Damn.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So brand ambassador, that's always a great way. And again, even if you have a business yourself, people who have businesses that are within your industry and align with you, they might not be a direct competitor, but like I said, a mechanic who could get sponsored by an oil company or a parts company or even a car brand, that works perfectly for their synergies there. So again, make your content, be you. Companies are always willing to partner, and that's an additional revenue stream that you can bring in, all right? Now, next revenue stream, we had a guest 2 weeks ago talking about this, and that is drop shipping. When we had Kira Muhammad come through and talk to us about how we could get started in dropshipping. Dropshipping is always good because you might not have to have the products on hand. You can work with a dropshipping partner that they have all the products. You just have to work with the marketing or do the marketing. And once the orders come in, your dropshipping partner will send the products out to your clientele. They'll take the payments, they'll ship out the products, and you just have to worry about marketing the goods.
Simple thing.
So as
life gets so easy now.
This is a thing, right? When people talk about how things are a lot harder, yes, we know things are harder, right? We know the cost of living is going up, but we have never had this many ways to generate income for ourselves. It's never been this easy to make money as the way that it is right now, right? So another revenue stream, we're talking Janine.
Yeah.
Right, we're talking Janine. Janine likes her coins, you know. Janine likes her coins. As a matter of fact, I called your name in a meeting last night, you know. I know. Well, it was for a government entity, and they were like, "Hey, we need a host for today." It was like a last minute thing, right? It was a last minute thing. Right?
Yesterday,
yeah. It was a last minute thing, and they're like, "Need a host." So they're like, "Do you have anybody?" I'm like, "Well, of course. You guys know who my co-star is? It's Jen." Jen, she could have. No. The event, the meeting was yesterday, but the event was today, this morning.
Before here.
So I'm like, yo, I have, you know, you could link up Jen, you know, I sure Jen will come through. But then they're like, I'm like, what's the budget? They're like, I'm like, well, next time.
I don't like hold on. I was so hard in my life. No. I want to tell people it's not about the dollars.
Yeah. Come with a plan if you don't.
For me, it's not about the dollars because here why? Unlike return clients, right? That's why it's not about the dollars. Plus, sometimes, you know, you just have to be able to flex. The economy not how it used to be. And you have to be able to flex, you know? Yes, you know your worth. Nobody ain't saying that, you know. You have to be able to flex.
People,
if you want to keep getting money, you got to be able to flex. Because there is somebody younger. There's someone out with new technology every single day. So you don't want to lose. You don't want to lose out.
People need to be very strategic about when they do free.
Yes.
And I think that's a conversation we don't have in Trinidad, because all I ever see online is, oh, Don't do nothing for free. Don't do nothing for free. Don't do nothing for free. I don't ever hear people talking about. I do free things all the time. I don't think people talk about how to do free, how to structure to do free, and when you do free.
I don't do anything for free. If I do something, it will be clearly a bargain of services. Even if you can't pay me, it will be some sort of.
There's a strategic, there is a strategic benefit in place.
So the time I would do something absolutely free would be for the church, would be for my, obviously for my foundation. And there are one or two people that, well, at the beginning they helped me. So if they call me, I'm like, yeah, pay, don't need that, whatever, let me do it.
I like how you said, it's not always about the money, right? And it's not necessarily like, free is probably not the right word to use. There is a strategic benefit. If a company can't pay you in with money, and again, what else are you coming with? There's always things that you guys could work out to barter.
Yeah.
That it makes sense for both parties, mm-hmm. right? Even if, and again, this is for a lot of the younger people who are coming up and looking to build a portfolio. Even people who have started either a new business or maybe they learned a new skill like photography. Folks, the best way to build up your portfolio and get your name out there, find strategic businesses or partners that you can do work for at no cost to them, and get those people as a part of your portfolio, because that will make you more money down the road.
Two things I want to say. I know people use Instagram to try and make money. So here's what happened recently. A young person approached me and said, hey, would you like to have an animated logo? Now, mind you, my profile picture is an animated logo mm-hmm. that I have had since I kind of started with Peace, Love, and Cupcakes. Those logos got made a long time ago.
Right.
Shout out to the writer. I love you a long time, brother. You see, that's why he could get that, because he did the logo for me. It's going to be with me for years. I'm always going to make mention of him.
Writer. Monk?
The writer. He's also an artist. But he does graphic design. Anyway, this to the person now that approached me on IG. So the person approaches me on IG and says, hey, I want to do, would you like me to do an animated logo and stuff? I'm like, well, I kind of have one already, but all right, cool. And then goes on to discuss what picture
right.
we should change into this animated picture. He goes on my profile, screenshots a picture, sends it to me in the DM. And I'm like, nah. Like the picture you choose? No. Let me show you some pictures. So I'll go on in, I get 4 pictures, I send it to him. You know the following messages. I don't know if you could donate $25. I said, but what the jail is?
No.
So that's not how you just do business. So I said to him, I'm very sorry. I said, due to the miscommunication, somehow that's not how it does work. If you want me, if I don't mind you selling me on IG and Facebook and thing.
Right.
Because there are other people, they offer me gym membership, they offer me deals galore.
Yeah.
Put your price, your figure, and what you want in your original message. Don't bait me along and then make me feel like
madness.
I had to pay you $25 now because you don't do the artwork. If you didn't tell me I wanted $25 from the jumper, I say, hold on, stuff.
Yeah, let me.
I already have artwork, but I could put it onto somebody else who might need it.
Right.
But you never was upfront with me like that. So I said, due to the miscommunication, I don't want anything at all to do with this whole scene. You know,
you're trying to swindle people now.
Yeah, I said, that's not how you just do business. Approach me with the dollars and cents first. Say, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I just started my thing. I don't know if you could put aside $25. I would like to do something for you. Are you interested? But don't do something and then $25.
That's madness. And he lost out because your name is worth way more than $25. Your name as a testimonial is worth way more than $25. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. People don't understand how to do free work.
Yeah.
It's better for him to do something in partnership with you. Like, hey, Jin, I would like to do a logo for you. Could I use your face? Could I use you as a testimonial?
Mm-hmm.
And use your name to get business that's going to be worth way more than $25.
Yeah.
But we're always looking for that upfront money. And again, very short-sighted.
Very.
That we don't even think long-term.
No.
So learning how to do free and build your portfolio, that's a conversation that we really don't have. You just see a lot of people saying, oh, don't do nothing for free. Know your worth, know your worth, know your worth. No, you need to know when. You need to know how to do things for free. You need to know who to do it with. And you need to know how to structure that. One free thing. Janine could get you to a second star, a second star to a voice to a Marshall, and it goes on.
So the writer verified. I had to get it on IG for you guys.
I just
the person who does my anything animated. He does my animated work because he does stuff for everybody.
So
the Robert Up Rhythm, it was his cartoon as well. Look, he did a thing with Gary.
Yeah.
Gary Griffith.
So the joke with him, right? He has the professional business Logo Boss. He did my designs.
Logo Boss, that's it, Logo Boss.
Yes, big up yourself anytime.
Big up Logo Boss.
He did all of my designs in 2016 for my business, for my stores.
Yeah.
He is amazing. I love to see growth, right? So when I first did when I had my phone store in Curup, 2016, 2017, and he did my stuff, I could afford him, right? Paid, bam, nice. Then I think I checked him in like 2019. I'm like, yo, what's going on, bro? Ting, ding, ting. He's like, cool. And I seen his prices. So I was like, oh, okay, we reach.
Right, yeah.
We reach, all right. Word,
yeah,
word, word.
Yeah,
I like to see it, though.
I like to see it. I take my things early. Yeah, I want with a colorful background. I want plain background. I want with a black background. Send me my thing, man. I like it. It's nice.
I love his work. Let me see if I still have it. No, all of his stuff. Like when I seen all of his his portraits, like his animated, like the animated he did for you, the animated face that he did for you.
Yeah.
All of his designs are absolutely amazing. I give him that. This is taking long. But yeah, that's dope. I like that. But that guy, the young guy, he lost out.
Yeah.
You know,
that's just not how you do business.
And then to come after the fact and be like, can you donate $25? Nah.
Yeah, because I guess like you're trying to hold me hostage because you've done this. And then, oh God, I have a heart, but I ain't shepherd. So I get that you took time, you did your app, your ting-ting, you fixed the line, you shade there better. I get it. But that's just not. So you learn. You have to learn. So I set you up for learning there. I just let you know, due to the miscommunication, had you said or mentioned anything about payments at the beginning of the message, we would have had a different conversation.
Yeah, Janine.
Next time, try that approach.
And you know what makes it worse? You don't do those types of things to people that have a big platform. Because you don't know, like, why would you want to do that? Like, why would you want to go to somebody with a big platform?
I just think you better
and hit them with
$25,
that.
$25, you know. But I just was looking for $25. He don't really care about.
He ain't care about that.
And that's what you were saying. You see, people have some very short-sighted visions.
Correct.
Rather than, and I try to let people know, hey, when I started, and even when I show up to events, when I showed up to a particular event for a corporate client the other day, I could sit down in the corner and be a corporate, I like when we get these things. Hey, right. Ooh. So when I was at the event, I there doing my little hosting and stuff, there was a break in the day, so we had some time. And then there was a problem. There was a problem. The client spent money on a particular backdrop and stuff, and there was a problem. But you know what? Janine came in with the solution. She didn't come to stress. I said, but you know, if we unclip this thing here, and I go on with my nice nails. I say, if we unclip this thing here, you know, it will be level. You unclip it, it was level. You know, we take picture, thing nice, boom, bang, bang, then the thing break. But then we found a solution. What is this?
Yes, we
what
have
is
time.
This?
We have guests. This way.
Oh, come in now. Come in. Don't do me that. Come in, man. Hi, beautiful people. How are you all? Are you all part of our
hello
new GML team?
Good.
I am very good.
So how was your Friday so far?
Well,
this is yes, this is the Digital World. Karen Rose and myself, Janine Edwards, we host our Friday program between 12 and 3, and we teach people everything digital, how to make money, how to monetize your platforms and your websites. So it's very informative. I wish I could interview all of y'all. Y'all look so lovely. y'all look so lovely, man.
So you guys enjoying your time so far?
So y'all are now getting the tour of the studios.
Yes.
Hold on. Here's the main question. Who has snacks? Listen, whenever you see Janine, whether Janine is on Slam or here, Janine likes a tribute of snacks.
As you can clearly see, I like to eat. When it's small, we like to eat, right? So when y'all come to check me on, y'all come and check me on Slam. 9 to noon, Monday to Wednesday on Slam, right? And I'm here on a Friday.
Snacks.
Yes.
What's your favorite snack, Janine? What do you like?
Plantain chips. I like that. That's a lot. It's natural.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I like that too.
I like that
one. We could do it some plantain
chips. Shameless plug. I like the sunshine, the yogurt one with the yogurt drops. Sunshine, call me. That's the one I love. Right?
I haven't tried that one.
That's the one I love it. I love it. The sunshine granola packs. You don't know what I'm talking about?
Nah.
I'm in a different set.
I don't. You had me a plantain chips. You had me a plantain chips.
Sunshine sun mix. This is it.
Oh, you went from sun mix to yogurt
drops. This is my favorite.
Also,
okay. So you could bring this for me, right? You could bring that for me. And anything from Subway. I don't need pepper. Right?
Oh, Lord.
So you all are gonna head on over to the other studios.
Yes.
Well, enjoy and welcome to GML.
Thank you.
Welcome. So you're all gonna be on this floor too, or?
No, we're gonna have
commercial. Oh, okay. Well, welcome.
But as the money team. I mean, we're talking money right now. We got a whole money team inside here.
Don't forget, man. Of our voice, our face, right here. Use me, right? Okay, good. Bye, guys. You all have a blessed one. Welcome to the building.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I mean, we should wrap up because the boss, Carrie V, is inside here.
Yeah, let's go.
Carrie, you bring food, Carrie?
Yeah, no, you just
in the car. Oh, way, boy. She's like, I know I see in Janine, no.
Yeah. So many cameras around you. See?
This one, the cameras all out, boy.
Hey, watch. Before we go, as the logo boss did.
I'm now trying to find mine. That's pretty cool. I love it.
Yeah, I'm on
his page now, scrolling up.
Because
he did it so long ago for me.
This was 2018 that he did mine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 2018.
Good job.
Nah, he bad. This was the second one he did. My original one he did in 2016 for me. But nah, he bad. But, you know, we'll continue this conversation about monetization next week because we have so much more to talk about. The next week we have more guests coming through.
Me.
Oh, he did that for you? Not bad.
And then I made him. He took this picture and he made that. And then I asked him to put the colorful background for me and a white background for me. And then he did other things. Logo Boss is amazing.
Nah, Logo Boss, he bad. So now when you see, again, we caught him. We caught him years ago, right? Now, come with your coins.
Yeah.
He did a lot of free work. And you know what? He's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I had seen him back in 2016, he was doing a lot of artist portraits. He was doing a lot of designs at no cost. I didn't even know who he was or whatever. He was just doing work and putting it out there. So once I started to see the work that he was doing, he done caught a customer in me, right? I never went to him with no free thing. I was a small fry too. So I went with my money and paid, right? But again, how you do free and how you do it, you have to be strategic. He strategically did a lot of popular people's portraits, designs, and whatnot. Some of them I remember Bungie used it for some things. He was able to do some lyric videos or whatever. Mm. I sure in the beginning, again, was not paid until... Look at that.
Yeah. So mine was in March 2019. Yours was in January 2019.
Look at that.
It up. But yeah, that's what happened. Like, I don't even know. Oh, he came into Slam. That's what I would have met him. Mm. He came into Slam to do interviews with me. And then it became a conversation. And then that was it. Yeah.
And that was
And now, like, how much of a years later until I die, Logo Boss. Try him. He real bad.
Nah.
Where you are? You understand? So it would always be like that. He's the best.
He bad. He did mine. This was my, that was my business logo that he did.
Droid Island.
Yeah, that was my business logo that he did. Yeah, man come a long way. But yeah, anyways, so I hope you guys enjoyed yet another wonderful session of Digital World. We had Miss Crystal Tomlinson out of Jamaica on the program. She's going to be coming. We're going to be bringing her back next week to talk about the business side of public speaking and all the we ended today off with monetization methods. She goes into a whole other thing when it comes to monetization and how she's been able to create revenue streams for her online business and practice and travel the world as a public speaker. We're going to be diving in deep into that next week. So from me, you could find me if you want to learn more about building your digital presence and monetizing your platforms at KaronRose.com. Check out the Digipreneur FM podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Janine, where can the Freedom 106.5 family find you?
Hi, guys. You can find me right here in the GML team. I will be on Slam 100.5 Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. And, of course, you could catch me on my IG at JYNNYN. Website coming soon, baby.
As we talking about. See you guys next week, Friday, with more Digital World. Up next, Carrie V. Smiling. 3 to 6.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.